But it doesn't matter, rain or shine, because the Humble Trivia Challenge is indoors, right?
Yes, it is indoors. Nothing can dampen our spirits, Cliff. We're really excited. It's a pretty big year. This is our 13th annual Great Humboldt Trivia Challenge.
13th. And
lucky number 13. Mm-hmm. And we've just changed up everything this year. We've got a new venue, a new menu, lower ticket prices, lower team registration prices, still the same, you know, fun people and competition, and it all supports the Humboldt Literacy Project, so you get to have this great evening at a lower price, and you get to do good in your community while you're doing it.
So, before we talk about the event and all the fun that is going to be, let's talk a little bit about Humboldt Literacy Project.
All right. Well, as you know, Cliff, what we do at the Humboldt Literacy Project since 1985 is we connect adults who want to improve their reading and writing with volunteer tutors, these incredible people who just wanted to help someone, anyone in their community. And we put them together for confidential, free, one-on-one English language tutoring. And we just have a blast doing it.
Fantastic. And how long has the Humboldt Literacy Project been around?
We have been around for 33 years. We started in 1985, which is well before my time. Mm-hmm. We were started by a HSU grad student named Lily Gonzalez, and unfortunately, that is the sum total of everything I know about our founders. She was from HSU, and her name was Lily, and if you try Googling that name, it's not too unusual. So if anybody knows the Lily Gonzalez who helped found the Humboldt Literacy Project in 1985, she's our patron saint. We want to meet her.
Wow.
But there are literacy projects in pretty much every county in America. Most of them are part of the library system. Most public libraries, you can walk in and get help with your reading and writing and get connected with a tutor through this library literacy program. But Humboldt Literacy Project is an independent nonprofit. We were kind of separated out during some budget cuts back in the 80s, according to the lore.
Ah, fantastic. And do you have any data as to, what percentage of Humboldt County is maybe illiterate or at least having issues?
The stats are that 15% of adults in the United States are functionally illiterate, not just kind of struggling, not just having trouble with their spelling or pronunciation.
Wow.
Functionally illiterate, 15%. And in Humboldt County, that means there's about 14,000 of us dealing with this. I say anytime you're in, you know, a room full of adults, probably at least one of them, you know, has had a little struggle, or definitely, whether they know it or not, knows someone who's had this struggle. And there's a lot of shame and stigma and all kinds of stuff to overcome before I get to meet these great people when they come to my office and ask for help with their reading and writing.
And I know a lot of adults figure out ways to get past that and disguise it. I get very creative. But the thing is, what I wonder is, how do people get through school and graduate?
That's a really good question, and there's no really clear answer because it happens a lot, and it's not like teachers are trying to let students down. Mm-hmm. It's not like teachers want to give someone a diploma who can't really read. I think that occasionally, maybe, you know, if the teacher thinks they're doing a student a favor by maybe passing a kid who maybe should have repeated a grade. But really, we can't blame the teachers and we can't blame anybody else because there are way too many ways to become an illiterate adult in America. So one way is maybe you transferred schools too many times. Maybe you got kind of rushed through instead of held back when maybe you needed to spend a little bit more time. Maybe you needed a few remedial classes. Maybe somebody thought they were giving you a break. Or maybe your parents moved. Maybe you were in a dozen different high schools. Maybe your education was interrupted. But you might also be perfectly literate and then have a brain injury, a stroke, and have to regain your literacy. You might have a learning disability that went undiagnosed, not because the teachers and the doctors are bad, but because these things are very hard to pin down.
Sure.
And recognize. That's just a couple of ways that you can wind up on my doorstep.
Well, it's something that's very near and dear to me. I am dyslexic and quite dyslexic, but being 60 years old, that was not a very common diagnosis when I was young and in school. Luckily, my father's a clinical psychologist. He recognized it right away, and I got into some remedial classes to help me with it. But, you know, a lot of people my age who are dyslexic can just, it was a very hard struggle to be able to read.
It is. And dyslexia, it's not one size fits all. It comes in.
It's kind of a catch all.
Yeah. And it comes in different manifestations and different intensities. And it's, there are tests and exercises. But, like, you know, we do have dyslexic learners, and not all of them respond mm-hmm. to the same materials. A book or an exercise or something that worked for one learner will just about drive the other learner out the door. It's
absolutely
very, very personal.
Yeah. And for me, I mean, I certainly can read, and I do every day because I have to, but I don't do it for pleasure because it's just too much work. But recently, like about maybe 15 years ago, I discovered audiobooks, and they've become so popular that, I've read hundreds of books as audiobooks, and for me, it's been a joy to be able to get into the world of literature for fun.
Yeah, and that's pretty advanced. A lot of our learners are still on the basics, still sounding out words and learning to fill out job applications and stuff, and to be able to take yourself to a point where you get to just take in a novel and mm-hmm. enjoy it is an ultimate goal. It's one of the goals. I always say we're a long way from sitting in the hammock with a novel. And audiobooks are fantastic. Sometimes for a learner, it can be good to read along with mm-hmm. the audio going. But also just, you know, the way audiobooks are coming along in the last few years, the production quality and the professional readings and everything. I've heard some audiobooks that were definitely a better experience than simply reading with my eyeballs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of authors are very much, you know, they're so big into that, you know, they take part. And I know, like, one of my favorite science fiction writers, Orson Scott Card, he says, "My books are better as audiobooks."
Yeah, I'm glad. I think when audiobooks first started getting big, I think there was a little bit of stigma. It's kind of mm-hmm. like vinyl records. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're supposed to really read a paper book. And, you know, we don't need to get stuck to any one format mm-hmm. yeah. to enjoy these things.
Absolutely. No, and a lot of people are embarrassed by it, but I like to mention it because it's, you know, there's such a stigma. But until audiobooks, as I said, about 15 years ago, I had not read one novel for fun in my entire life until that, because it's just too much work.
I'm glad that audiobooks let you experience, you know, the fun of a novel, and I'm glad that there's more than one way to enjoy a novel. And by the mm-hmm. way, thank you for talking to your listeners about having dyslexia. It'd be really great to destigmatize these things and just make it easier for everyone who wants help to get help, because yep. right now there's just a lot of embarrassment and
sure.
everything else that we put on each other, I guess, because we don't realize that there's actually 15% of us dealing with that, right. And that's a very large number.
I also talked to my students at HSU about that as well. Yeah, I'd let them fully know I'm dyslexic, and I said, I know a good chunk of you are, and you need to know that it's not a barrier to even doing radio. You just have to learn how to adapt.
Yeah. Yeah, so how do you... do it? How do you? Because you have to do a certain amount of reading mm-hmm. to get through your life, even if you're not actually reading the novel. What are your techniques? How do you deal with it?
The stuff that I have to read, you know, articles and whatnot, I just plow through them and just deal with it. It just takes longer than most people do, but I just do it. I have to, of course, read commercials and live copy. So luckily, live copy usually is no more than, you know, 15 seconds. And I read it through about, you know, a dozen times and memorize it. That way I can just sound like I'm fluid. If I was to, if it was to be shown to me right away, I couldn't do it. I can't do it. Just a, you know, see it and read it. And with like commercials, I usually do them a sentence at a time and then piece them all together.
And see, that's why I say, you know, it's not a deficit when you're having to come up with all these other skills to mm-hmm. deal with lacking one skill. For instance, a lot of people would be really intimidated by having to memorize that copy before right. going on the air. And now you're live on the air counting on your memory, not the page in front of you.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Right. The page, you know, the page is there as backup, you know, but the thing is, for me, if I try to read something that I've never read before and I've got the pressure of being live on the radio, what happens is it turns into gibberish. it doesn't even look like words anymore. It's like, what is that? I can't read that.
Is your brain trying to pick up the letter and turn it around and look at it from all the different three-dimensional angles?
No, the way my dyslexia manifests, so many people have different ways. I can only perceive, I can see everything. My field of vision is wide like anyone else's, but my brain can only process no more than three letters at a time. That's all it can process as data. The rest is just there. I can see it, but it doesn't mean anything.
Sure.
So I generally, if I'm reading, I generally guess based on the shape of the word and the beginning and end of it, which leads to some very humorous interpretations if you try to do it live. So yeah, I can. It was really interesting. I discovered that in school when I was in one of my remedial reading classes, they used what's called a flasher, and they would like flash words and sentences on the screen, and you were supposed to write them down. And, you know, they did words. I could usually get a word. But then they did digits. They put a seven-digit number up, and I went, who can do that? And everyone's writing it down. I'm going, I can only get three digits. That's all I could ever do. And then they flashed a whole sentence, and everyone was writing it down. I go, how can anyone see that?
That sounds like a lot of pressure.
Well, it was a big discovery for me as to how you know, where my learning disability manifests.
Well, it's really a good story to share. I think you're very much, very much not alone. And it's good to see, you know, that we can be successful and we can have great lives, you know.
Absolutely.
Even if we have, you know, one thing we can't really do that great. And I think we do all have that thing that looks so easy to every, you know, to everybody else. And it seems like nobody even has to think about doing it, but you can't do it. And that's a really horrible feeling.
Right. I mean, but at the same time, you know, it's like I've got strength in other areas where people just like, it mind boggles people. Like I can look at electronics and understand exactly how it works, and you know, it's just, I go, how do you know that? I go, you can just see it in your head. It's just, this goes here. I go, how can you not know that? And it's like, that it's just, you know, it's, you know, for me it's rudimentary, but it's, most people are illiterate when it comes to
exactly
that.
And it's all in your perspective. If you're just focused on the one thing and you forget about the 2 million things that you can do. I had one learner who it was very hard for him to come to us, as it is for many of our mm-hmm. learners. It was very hard to admit that he needed help as an adult from another adult, but he did. He got up all his courage and he called and he said, I need help. And he was a great learner, always studied really hard, but he was always very apologetic and embarrassed about what he couldn't do. And the thing is, he was with us to build up his literacy skills
sure.
so he could write automotive tutorials on how to work on your car and how to fix your car. And I'm like, what? Why are you apologizing because you're not the best at reading? I can't fix my car engine. I'm
right.
car illiterate. It, you know, it's all six of one, half a dozen of another.
Absolutely. We should mention that this is KHUM, Cutton, Eureka, Arcata, and Ferndale, that we stream on the web at KHUM.com. We're talking with Emma Burkan, who is the executive director of Humboldt Literacy Project. And we've been talking about the project for some time. But let's talk about the event that is coming up. When is that?
Well, yeah, we get to have a whole lot of fun doing good work and attacking a pretty serious problem. Every year, our main annual fundraiser is the Great Humboldt Trivia Challenge, and this is our 13th year, and we're really excited, and I'm a tiny bit nervous because we have changed up everything
right.
about this event that we have been doing for so long. We have moved it to Eureka. We left the wonderful, wonderful Cherry Heights Casino that sponsored us for so long and took such beautiful care of us. Now we've moved it to a really convenient location, the Eureka Women's Club, right there in the middle of downtown. Real easy shot to get there.
We've got on J Street.
Yes, right there on J Street, 1531 J Street, I believe. We've got a new menu. We've got tacos sponsored by Rita's.
Yay!
And they are just such delightful, generous people. We're really happy to have them on board. We've got lower ticket prices, lower team registration prices.
So what's the ticket price?
It is $10 in advance and $15 at the door. Don't worry about calling me. I will be more than happy to charge you $15.
There you go.
And team registration, we got down from $350 to $100 for a team of three to compete.
Wow.
Yeah, we're really trying to open it up, make it more accessible to some people, still keep it fun for the real diehard trivia fans that want a real good, chewy trivia game. And if you're not that great at knowing all the answers, we'll take the class clown, too. You know, we have humor prizes and a humor judge.
That's why teams are always so good, because you want a good team that's well-rounded. Some maybe are really strong in pop culture. Some are really strong in classic literature. Some are really strong in sci-fi, that kind of thing.
And it's all helpful. We try to cover a really broad selection of categories of question and difficulty level of question, and we put a lot of thought into creating those. And of course, we never know what Andrew Goff's going to draw out of the bucket when it's time. We never know which questions are going to be asked and which will never be asked. It's very random, but we do put a lot of work into culling the questions and making them good.
Fantastic. So Mr. Goff is going to be your MC for the evening. And give the date again.
That is Thursday, April 19th. We've got a new night of the week, too. It's no longer Sunday. It's Thursday night. The doors open at 5:30. Dinner is at 6. The games start at 6:30. And we're going to have you out of there by 9.
Nice. Good. Well, 9 o'clock on a weeknight is not bad.
Right. You can still, you know, take the dog for a quick walk and be to work without being groggy the next day. You know, I think it's going to work out. Yeah, we apparently, before my time, apparently this was an event that could occasionally run to 11 or 12 o'clock. And a lot of our players were really concerned about that. It took years and years to assure people they weren't still going to be there at 11 or 12 o'clock on a weeknight.
Always good. Always good. So, if we have a team of people, if you've got a group that you think would be terrific, it's only $100, which isn't bad now, where do they go? What do they do?
You can go to our website, humlit.org, and download a little application. There's all the information that you need about the event right there at humlit.org. But you can also call us at 445-3655 and we can, you know, make the arrangements over the phone. I'm not too formal. I will take your money and your team information, however you want to give it to me.
Okay, and buy tickets to be part of the glorious audience?
Yes. Tickets, like I said, $10 in advance. They're available at, I believe, Booklegger and Northtown Books and a few other local locations are working on spreading them a little wider. And they're also available directly from our offices in Fortuna and Eureka. So if you wanted to make it easy on yourself, you can call us on the phone. You can PayPal the money. We'll put you on the will call list so you don't have to come to my office and pick up the physical tickets. But one way or another, we will get you there if you want to be there. It's a really fun night. I didn't even mention there's a literary themed costume contest for groups or individuals. You can dress as your favorite authors or characters from literature, and we will prize you up. And there is a really great silent auction with all kinds of treats and merchandise from local artists and businesses. And I think of it as a great place to kind of begin your holiday shopping.
And speaking of Andrew Goff, he goes down in Humble Trivia Challenge history in that costume contest. 1 year, he decided on a lark, just to, you know, he was just wearing what he was normally wearing, and I think he was unshaven, and went up there, and he goes, "I'm Jack Kerouac on the road." And the crowd went insane.
Insane. And the crowd loved it. It was crowd approval that picked the winner at that point. So there were some people who had worked a little longer and a little harder than Andrew, who I heard about that from them for a couple of years.
I would imagine so.
Multiple years, I heard about that. But that's why we have judges.
Yeah, I remember people had worked long and hard on these, you know, costumes that were very intricate. And he was just like, oh, Lark, just went up there. It was very funny.
Yes, it's not all crowd noise anymore. It's crowd noise plus judging.
Great.
Sorry, Andrew.
But it's legend.
Yes,
that is part of the legend. So, speaking of getting on Will Call, we talked before you went on air about giving away a pair of tickets to get you in for some trivia.
Yes, we want to give a pair of tickets to, what shall we say, the first caller with the correct answer?
First caller with the correct answer. Let me give you the number. Okay, it's 786-KHUM. That's 786-5486.
And first of all, you're on your honor system not to Google this, because Googling and smartphones are not going to be permitted at the Trivia Challenge. But also, if you are a humble person, you should know this. This should not be a struggle. You know, we're not trying to give you too hard a challenge this morning. So should I read them the question?
Yeah.
What Humboldt County native, now Broadway star, performed at the 2014 Grammys with Carole King?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. That should be pretty easy, actually, for most people. Again, the number is 786-KHUM. That's 786-5486. So give the question again.
What Humboldt County native, now Broadway star, performed at the 2014 Grammys with Carole King?
Ooh.
Come on, you know this, Humboldt.
That is some trivia. It's not that hard. Just think about it. think about who in Humboldt County is that famous and has performed at the Grammys. I would have performed at the Grammys in the world of music. Okay, I'll give you a hint. Eureka High School grad. Okay. Again, 786-KHUM. That's 786-5486. Call now. First person to get that right gets into the Humboldt Trivia Challenge. We're going to take a break, and hopefully we'll have a winner next. All right, we are 18 minutes after 9 o'clock, and as soon as we went to the break, we had a million people calling in with the answer of Sarah Bareilles.
Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah, that is right. So congratulations. The first person, though, to call in was
Amy Citro. Congratulations, yes. Amy, on your fast brain and your fast dialing fingers. Uh-huh. You will be on the Will Call list for you and a friend. Two tickets will be waiting for you at the Great Humboldt Trivia Challenge Thursday, April 19th at the Eureka Women's Club.
Yeah, it'll be a wonderful, wonderful event as always. And I like the new venue. That is really nice. Very convenient and just a great vibe for the place.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time, and it's going to be a little easier to get there and home.
That's right.
And hey, there's tacos. Did you even need anything else, Cliff? Did you even need to hear about the trivia, and the auction?
And it's not even Tuesday.
Yeah. Taco Thursday.
Taco Thursday. That's right. It works to the T.
Yep.
It works. All right, Emma, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Cliff.